Hi everyone, welcome back to the Daily Gospel Exegesis podcast. Before we get into today's episode, just wanted to share some great feedback that's come in from you guys, the listeners, which is something I like to do from time to time. And firstly, I just want to thank all of you as listeners if you have promoted this podcast and shared it around in some way. As you know, this is a small grassroots ministry. It's got a very simple structure and a straightforward mission, which is to help you understand the verse-by-verse literal sense of scripture. And thank you for so many of you who have invested in this ministry, whether by financially supporting or just by telling other people about it. So I just wanted to share a few comments here. This is from Rena, who is on Patreon. I found you on Hello and have been listening every day for about 2 months. I frequently share this with my siblings and my church group. I value this so much that despite limited financial resources, I felt it was imperative to become a member. So thank you so much, Rena, for becoming a financial supporter of the ministry. It really does make a difference. And it's such a blessing that you're choosing to use your limited financial resources to say thank you to this ministry and also to help plan for future projects. Feedback here from Bertha, also on Patreon. She says, I look forward to the exegesis every day, and it's better than any explanations I have ever heard. Thank you so much for those wonderful words, Bertha, and I'm glad that you're finding this exegesis useful. When I set out to do this podcast, I felt like you that there was a bit of a gap where you couldn't really find many audio resources that take you slowly and carefully verse by verse through scripture. So if this approach is helping you, then that is awesome. Christina says, I found your ministry through the Hello app and I love your daily exegesis. It brings to light things that I have never heard from others. Your analysis is very insightful and your presentation excellent. Thank you so much for those words, Christina. And once again, I'm so glad that you're benefiting from this approach where we look at the literal sense of scripture. Remember, as Catholics, that's where we have to start. If we want to understand scripture, there are, of course, other senses, like a spiritual sense and a personal sense. But the church very clearly teaches that we always have to start with the literal sense. And this podcast is trying to give you the tools to help you start doing that. Cynthia said via email, thank you for such a wonderful educational podcast. Blessings for your ability to clearly communicate and educate without bias. Thank you, Cynthia, for saying that. I mean, I guess we all approach scripture with some sort of bias, but what I want to do in this podcast is to try and give you, where there is doubt about the meaning of the text, and that is for a lot of cases in the Gospels, there's different ways of interpreting it. I try and give you different views about what good Catholic scholars are saying and then help you to come to your own conclusions. There's a review here on Apple Podcasts Australia. They say, this is excellence in scripture expounding. Thank you for all your hard work. It is recommended for anyone seeking insight into the Gospels. And another review here from the Canadian Apple Podcasts. I learned of logical Bible study through another app. It has become a regular part of my daily life. A few minutes a day has enabled me to understand the contextual world Jesus lived in and to understand our lives better through our unchanging eternal God. Every Catholic and those seeking to understand the amazing blessings of the church would benefit from this. I know I do, and I'm grateful. Thank you so much, Mary from Canada, for that wonderful review. And indeed, this podcast is trying to help you understand the context in which Jesus spoke. And then a review here from the Philippines on Apple Podcasts. The Bible for me as a Catholic has always been a book revered. It has never occurred to me to read it as a textbook and be learning so much about Jesus our Lord in this way. Thank you for that insightful review from the Philippines. And indeed, I suppose the approach we take here is similar to looking at the Bible as a textbook. But of course, keeping in mind that it is a book that is inspired by the Holy Spirit. But indeed, we can go through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and see what the author was trying to teach and what Jesus was trying to teach in the Gospels. And that is where we should start. Carolyn on Patreon says, this podcast has made a huge difference in my life. I now have an understanding to all the parables. Thank you, Carolyn. Lots of people do struggle with the parables, and sometimes you'll hear people say that parables can be interpreted multiple different ways. I think you'll find that when you do a study of the literal sense of the parables, and listeners to this podcast would agree, that usually Jesus has one key point in mind that he's trying to get at when he's delivering a parable, but we have to get it the context to really reveal what that is sometimes. Alina says, "Your podcast is a blessing that I found via the Hello app. I look forward to it every day and save it for the last part of my prayer time. Thank you for sharing your gifts." Thank you so much for those kind words, Alina. If this podcast is helping you with your prayer life, that is the goal. We always, everything we do as Christians, when we make media products of any kind, it should be to lead people closer to God. And if this podcast is helping you do that in conjunction with Daily Mass, then the goal is being met, and that is fantastic. It's all God's work. Lorne Allen says, "I love this ministry. I've learned so much from listening every morning as part of my prayer routine. Your explanations of scripture have helped so much as I go through my Bible study, and the readings at Mass become so much clearer. Thank you for all the work you put into each reading." Carolyn has written in via email. She says, "This podcast is incredible, and I'm so thankful that you do this. When I read the gospel, there is so much I don't understand." And what Carolyn says here, I think, applies to a lot of Catholics. Many Catholics just go to Mass and they hear it and they kind of get it, but not really. And I think this podcast is trying to be a good resource that'll help Catholics really understand the scripture and bring it to life for them. She says, "Your podcast has taught me a ton, and I look forward to listening to it every day. I've shared it with my Catholic friends, and they are amazed too." Thank you so much for that, Carolyn. Emma said, "I too stumbled across your podcast on Hello, and it has given me a renewed appreciation of the scriptures. I listen to it on the train, on my way to work, or in the evenings if I work from home. It's a valuable addition to my daily routine." Thank you so much for those words, Emma, and I'm glad this podcast is able to keep you company on the train on the way to work. Anne says via email, "I love what you're doing and trying to spread the word. I just wanted to reach out and let you know that you're making a beautiful impact on one Catholic person who's hungry for exactly what you're providing." Thank you so much for those wonderful words, Anne. And if this podcast is making a difference to the prayer life and the understanding of one Catholic, then it's met its goal. And Sylvia says, "I love listening to the podcasts daily, and I replay them 2 to 3 times a day because I always catch something I missed the first time." So thank you so much for these overwhelming reviews about the podcast. Please keep telling other people about it. As I always say, this podcast is a grassroots ministry. It has no marketing department, so it relies entirely on you guys, the listeners, to tell other people about it. And if you would generously consider becoming a financial supporter, that would be fantastic. The funds that come in are used to plan for future projects. Some of the funds are reinvested into other ministries that are doing similar work, such as Hello and Catholic Answers. And so please consider whether you might like to join the community who is supporting this ministry. Thanks, and let's get into today's episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to Daily Gospel Exegesis Podcast, and we're currently looking at the Gospel of Luke, doing a verse-by-verse exegesis of the scriptures for each day's Catholic Mass. So today we want to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "See that you are dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast, ready to open the door as soon as he comes and knocks. Happy those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. I tell you solemnly, he will put on an apron, sit them down at table, and wait on them. It may be in the second watch he comes, or in the third, but happy those servants if he finds them ready." So that's our text for today. Let's start by thinking about what has happened just prior to this. What is the context? So Jesus is moving from Galilee to Judea. He's getting close to the end of his life now. And as he's moving towards Jerusalem, he's doing ministry along the way and he's speaking to the crowds. He has just been speaking to the disciples just before this in Luke 12 about living their entire lives directed towards heaven. And you can hear that an exegesis of those verses, so verse 22 to 35, as a bonus episode of the podcast. So if you want to hear what comes just before this, that is available to you through the Patreon page, and you can check out the show notes for that link. So we get to verse 35 today. Jesus is now continuing the same theme of living your life directed towards heaven. And he's going to focus particularly on telling his disciples to be ready for his coming at the final judgment. The cultural context is going to be important here because he's going to jump straight into talking about weddings. Now, in that culture, weddings were very important and they were quite elaborate. There was a lot of processes associated with doing a wedding correctly. One of the aspects of it, and obviously Jesus talks about other aspects during his ministry, he loves to talk about weddings as he often incorporates that into his parables. But here he's talking about what happens after the wedding. So in that culture, after a wedding ceremony and the feast, the groom would return home, often at nighttime. And the idea here seems to be that when the groom returned home at nighttime, there would be servants waiting for him to return, and they had lamps so he could see his way, and probably his bride would be with him as well. So servants are there with the lamps so they can see their way, and then when he gets into the house, they would serve him. The servants would prepare food for him and wait on him. Now, the servants in that culture on the wedding night, they would typically have a rough idea of when the groom was returning, so they would know approximately when the wedding was going to finish, but they didn't know exactly when the wedding was going to be finished. So they had to wait for the groom to return at any moment. That should sound familiar to you. Verse 35, Jesus says to them, "See that you are dressed for action and have your lamps lit." Or more literally, "Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning." So just like wedding servants have to stay alert with their lamps burning for the imminent arrival of their master, the idea here and the parallel Jesus is drawing is that the Christian disciple should always be doing good works and prepared for the return of Jesus the Messiah. They have to be ready all the time. And Jesus here says, "Gird your loins." Interesting phrase. It's an Old Testament phrase, and basically, in that culture, that's literally what they would have to do. To get ready for action, they would gather up their ankle-length robes and they would tuck it in at the waist with a belt. And that was called girding your loins so that you were ready for service or travel. So it was so you get your clothes out of the way, or your long clothes out of the way, so that you can actually do something. So it's an Old Testament image for being ready. Gird your loins. Now, some scholars think there might be a connection here with Passover. Jesus might be subtly alluding to Passover. And this would certainly fit with the way Luke does things. Luke doesn't come right out and do explicit quotes from the Old Testament, like Matthew does. Luke seems to include sayings of Jesus that are a little more subtle. So in the Passover, on the night of the first Passover, when they came out of Egypt, the Israelites were told to eat the Passover with their loins girt, and they had to be ready to leave at any moment. You can check that out in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. Now, the wedding, the image we get here in Jesus' parable, or mini-parable, is that the wedding is happening at nighttime. Well, the original Passover happened at nighttime too. So the fact that they both occur at night and that Jesus says, "Gird your loins," in both, well, God says it at the Exodus and Jesus says it here, that might be suggesting a connection between the Passover, the first one, and Jesus' return as kind of like a new Passover. And there's a further clue later in the passage that we'll look at too. Jesus goes on, verse 36, "Be like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast, ready to open the door as soon as he comes back and knocks." So just like the groom could return at pretty much any time in the night, Jesus can return at any time. That's what he's teaching his disciples. And the true Christian, the true disciple, will be prepared to welcome him at any time. Once again, we see this theme here of being ready or living your life according to heaven, focusing on heaven, not on worldly things, because in the end, it's only heaven that counts. Jesus now makes a transition. The imagery now changes to the meal inside the house. So now the groom is inside the house. And the fact that there's now a mention of a meal, Jesus might be referring to the messianic banquet. That was a common Jewish image for heaven. You can see that in Luke 13. So in the next chapter, Jesus describes the day of judgment and those who enter heaven as reclining at table in the kingdom of God. So the mention here of the groom sitting down for a meal might have that same idea of a messianic banquet in mind as well. That was a common Jewish way of describing heaven. Verse 37, "Happy are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes." That "happy" can be translated "blessed." Blessed those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. That can be translated "favored" as well. Favored or fortunate. So just as the groom will be pleased with those who are actually awake and ready for him when he arrives home, Jesus will be pleased with the Christians he finds doing God's will when he returns. Jesus wants Christians to do God's will. That's what he expects. They will be the favored ones on Judgment Day. Jesus goes on, I tell you solemnly, or you can have that as truly, truly, I say to you, which means Jesus is signaling he's about to say something important. He will put on an apron. Now, Jesus is talking here about the master. So the master, when he finds the servants doing good when he arrives, the master will put on an apron, and literally it says the gird himself. Now Jesus is reversing the expectations. The master is girding himself to serve the servants instead of the servants serving the master. That would be the typical way that it worked in that culture. The servants get ready to serve the master. But here, Jesus teaches that he himself, the Messiah, on Judgment Day will serve those who have been faithful disciples. Interesting image, isn't it? He goes on, he says, the master will sit them down at table and wait on them. You can translate that as serve them. The master will serve the servants. So for the faithful disciples who do God's will in their lives, at the Judgment Day, or when Jesus returns, they will receive a reward. They will get into the kingdom of heaven. And a way of looking at this, according to Jesus, is that Jesus the Messiah will serve them. Imagine how shocking this would be for his hearers. That's not the way it was done in that culture. Servants waited on masters, not the other way around. But that's what Jesus says he will do for his faithful servants on Judgment Day. Now, we literally see Jesus do this later in his life. At the Last Supper, Jesus literally washes the disciples' feet. You can see that in John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Now, in fact, even later in Luke's Gospel, in chapter 22, Jesus says to his disciples, I am among you as the one who serves. So Jesus himself is the servant of his faithful disciples. He says that. Verse 38, Jesus finishes the parable by saying, it may be in the second watch he comes, or in the third. Now, when's the second and third watch? So the second watch, according to the Jewish reckoning, would be from 10 p.m. till 2 a.m. And the third watch was from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. So the groom could return from the wedding at any time in the night. And the point Jesus is making is that he could even return quite late. It might even be in the second or third watch of the night. And it's not entirely certain when the master will return. But, of course, the servants know he's going to return at some stage in the night. They just don't know exactly when. And it's entirely possible he could come quite late in the night. Likewise, Jesus as the Messiah could return at his second coming at any time in the New Covenant age, and that is certain that he will come, but it's not entirely clear when. It could actually take quite a long time. And from the perspective of his first century audience, it has taken quite a long time for Jesus to return. And that's why Jesus says, you don't know when it's going to happen. You need to be prepared at any moment. And of course, this fits in with lots of other things Jesus says. Interestingly, some Jewish traditions at the time of Jesus believed that the Messiah would come during the meal on Passover night. So the Jews celebrate Passover every year, and there was a Jewish tradition that the Messiah would arrive on a Passover night. So there's another link with Passover. Interesting, isn't it? That's not in the Bible, though, so that might just be a Jewish thought at the time that might not be correct. Jesus finishes by saying to his disciples, happy those servants if he finds them ready. Okay, that's the message he wants his disciples to have. Christian disciples need to be prepared for Jesus' return at any time. Jesus has more to say about this. In the coming verses, he's going to say, you must be ready at every moment. So not just you must be ready in general, it's going to happen at some point. He's going to get even more explicit and say, you need to be ready at literally every moment. So we'll look at how Jesus intensifies this in the coming days. Let's now turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. What can we learn from this passage? Paragraph 2849 is in the commentary on the Our Father on the line, and lead us not into temptation. And here's what the Catechism says, paragraph 2849. The Holy Spirit constantly seeks to awaken us to keep watch. Finally, this petition takes on its dramatic meaning in relation to the last temptation of our earthly battle. It asks for final perseverance. Lo, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is he who is awake. So here it links to the line from the Our Father, lead us not into temptation. So we should pray to God that we don't fall into temptation. And the Catechism here says that's particularly important because Jesus is going to return one day and he's going to be looking for servants who are awake and expecting him, not those who have fallen into temptation. So that's quite a nice link there. A bit of a shorter episode today. I hope you learned something new and we'll continue through Luke in the coming days. Thank you.